fat, huh? It's his breath.
All right now.
It's his air you breathe. Yes. Mm-hmm. It's his son that rose up this morning.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
That son rose up this morning because when time began, he said, let there be light.
All right. Amen.
This morning's sunrise was in response to that command.
Jesus.
That's something.
Yes, Selah.
That's a Selah moment. That Selah, it means think about that.
Yes.
That's the God we serve. Let us have a word of prayer. Father, this afternoon, we say thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you for all that you are.
Jesus.
It's your breath in our lungs.
Jesus.
We pour out our praise to you alone. We thank you, Lord, for this new day that you've given us. We thank you for the strength in our bodies to get up this morning, Lord, and move around. And we got up and sat up and moved and got our clothes on. And our minds were set that we would be in the house of prayer this morning. And we thank you for those that are here in the sanctuary, those on social media. We thank you, Lord, because your word is not bound. We thank you, Lord, your word can reach. It reaches to the highest mountain. And it flows to the lowest valley.
Jesus.
We thank you, God. We thank you for how you blessed us with your presence. We thank you how you blessed us this morning with food in our bellies. We had a roof over our heads last night as we rested.
Jesus.
We thank you this morning, Lord. We had a way to get to church.
Thank you
for that car, Lord.
Yes.
Thank you, Lord, for gas to put in that car. Lord, we thank you for the little things. We thank you, Lord, that we had food today because somebody didn't have food today. We thank you for that roof that was over our head last night because somebody slept on the streets last night. Lord, we thank you for health in our bodies because there's somebody in the hospital, even right now, that is being treated for sickness, for illness, for disease. And we thank you, God, for who you are. You're our great provider. You're our healer. You're our peace. And you are the God of the word. And we're thankful for your word this morning as we study your word, as we speak your word, as we listen to your word, as we receive your word today. Lord, we ask that you take that word and as good seed plant it in our hearts. Lord, that it might help us, draw us closer to you. Help us to be closer to you. Help us to be closer to you. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. You may be seated. You know, this one preacher, he said he likes to start the day with a joke, so I had a joke. Don't laugh. No, I do want you. You might laugh. It might be a good joke. Okay, so this woman got up on Sunday morning, went in the kitchen, and she's cooking her meal for breakfast, and she realizes it's getting late. So she goes in the room and says, honey, it's Sunday morning. Don't you think you ought to get up? He says, no, Mama, I don't want to get up today. I'm tired. I don't feel like getting up. And plus that church, those people, they don't like me. And I don't like them. So I don't think I want to get up. I don't have no reason to get up. And she says, I give you two reasons. Number one, you're 51 years old. That was supposed to be funny. Number two, you're the pastor.
Now that's funny.
Oh, gotcha. I liked that one. That was good. That was fresh to me. But this morning I want to talk to you about a little bit about Jesus. The Lord gave me this message, the man in the middle. The man in the middle. And when you think about a mediator, what a mediator is somebody that gets between. He's somebody that is in between controversy, conflict. And they get in the middle to help the two parties come together. The definition in scripture or in your dictionary even, as a mediator is a go-between. He's a go-between. Somebody gets in between. And it says in this definition, the mediator assists and guides the parties toward their own resolution. Now, here's the part that got me. The mediator does not decide the outcome, but helps the parties understand and focus on the important issues needed to make a resolution.
When we think about the Old Testament, Moses was a mediator. He mediated between God and the people of Israel. He went up on that mountain and he heard from God, and he took the message that God had for them to the people. He was a mediator. But God tells us that Jesus is a mediator of a brand new covenant. Moses mediated between the Mosaic law. That was the Mosaic covenant. Jesus came and mediated between us and God, and it's called the new covenant. He mediated that with his own blood. And we're going to talk about Jesus here, because Hebrews tells us that this new covenant is based on better promises. It has a better sacrifice. It has a better high priest. And so it's a better covenant. But I want to talk to you about, well, first of all, let me just tell you, Jesus, he did a lot of getting in the middle of a lot of things. Even before we get to this lesson today, he got in the middle a lot. Matter of fact, the very first miracle he did, he got in the middle of a situation at a marriage at Cana, and they ran out of wine. And so if you remember the story, we had this study before, there was a whole week of ceremony, and it was a whole week of festival and celebration. So they ran out of wine. Then the mother comes to Jesus and says, they run out of wine. And Jesus said, what's that to me? And you know the story. He turns water into wine. Why? Because he got in the middle. He's that man in the middle. Remember that we talked about this last Thursday night, where there were all this multitude of people and they needed to eat. I think it was Thursday, wasn't it? Thursday night, yeah. They needed to eat. And so 2 fish and 5 loaves of bread, Jesus raised it up, blessed it, and God multiplied it and fed. This was not just 5,000 men. So we know, we talked about that on Thursday night. It could have been 10,000, could have been 20,000. And at the end of that, what? 12 baskets of leftovers were there. Wow. Why? Because he got in the middle of that situation. Remember the situation where this man was, he was possessed with a legion of demons, which means he had over 4,000 demons in one man. Because when Jesus went to the man and said, what is your name? He says, I am legion, for we are many. Jesus got in the middle of that, and all those demons ran into the pigs and ran and drowned themselves. Why? Because that man got in the middle. All right. When there was a storm out to sea, Jesus told that storm to do what? Shut up. Peace be still. Why? He got in the middle of that storm and he calmed the storm, because he likes to get in the middle of situations. 1 Timothy chapter 2, we're going to read a little bit in 1 Timothy chapter 2. And this this chapter is where Paul is talking to Timothy. He's actually talking to him about prayer and worship. But in verse 5, he says, for there is one God and one mediator who can reconcile God and humanity, the man Christ Jesus. He gave his life to purchase freedom for everyone. This is the message God gave to the world at just the right time. And if we look at those two verses, I have outlined 8 important points from those two verses. First, it says that there is only one God. One God. There's not two gods. There's not a God for him and a God for these people and another God for these. No, there's only one God. All right. Isaiah 45:22 says, turn to me and be saved, all the ends of the earth, for I am God and there is no other. One God, only one God. And he says, and one mediator between God and man. Why do we need a mediator? We needed a mediator because of what? Sin. Sin had separated us. So we needed a mediator to break down that wall. Isaiah 59:1-2 says, behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that he cannot save, nor his ear heavy that he cannot hear. But here's the thing. It says, but your iniquities have separated you from your God, and your sins have hidden his face from you so that he will not hear. Sin is the big deal. That's why we need a mediator. And he tells us who the mediator is. He said, it's the man, Christ Jesus. He's the man. He's the God man. We find out in John 1:1, it says that in the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. The Word was God. Jesus, it was God the Son. But he was with God in the beginning. But then you keep reading and you go to verse 14, it says, and the Word became flesh. And it doesn't say that he left his deity behind. What it does say is he took on a tabernacle, a tent. He put on flesh. When we say incarnate, that just means you put on a meat suit. Just like we have. We have a meat suit. We have a meat suit. Why? Because who you are is not you, not what you see in the mirror. That's not who you are. That's just the covering that covers who you are. Who you are is inside there somewhere. The man, Christ Jesus. And then it says, he gave himself for us. That means He ransomed us. He paid a price for us. He did it freely. Mark 10:45 says, for even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and give his life, what? A ransom for many. He gave himself freely. Hebrews 12:2. Why did he give himself freely? The scripture says what? For the joy that was set before him. He endured the cross. And he did what? He disregarded the shame. In other words, he said, I don't care if they do talk about me. I don't care if they do spit on me. I don't care if they do slap my face, pull the hairs off my beard. I don't care about that. But for the joy that was set before him. He says, I'm going to take whatever I have to take. Why? So we would be here today saved. I wouldn't be here today saved if he wouldn't have endured. And it says, he purchased the freedom not just for Jews, not just for people that look like me or look like you. He says for what? Everyone. John 3:16 says, for God so loved what? The world, not just one part of the world. For everyone. It shows the inclusiveness of God. God is no respecter of persons. 1 John 2:2 says, he himself is the sacrifice that atones for our sins, and not only our sins, but the sins of the world. One man was able to do that. One man was able to take it. There's a song that says, he thought of me above all. He put me ahead of himself. Above all. He says, that song, you've heard that song, right? Above all kingdoms, above all thrones, above all powers the world has ever known, above all wisdom and all the ways of men. You were there before the world began. Above all, he put me. And the scripture and that song says, like a rose trampled on the ground. He took the fall.
Right.
He thought of me above all.
What a blessing.
What a thing. What a love. Then he says, this is the message God gave to the world. God gave that message. Hebrews 1:1 and 1:2 says that God spoke in time past unto the prophets, unto us through the prophets, has in the last days spoken to us through his Son, whom he have appointed heir of all things. So the message comes from God. So we asked that question in Power Hour this morning. What was the message? The message came through Jesus that sin has been atoned for. And then it says, that last one is very important. It says, this message God gave to the world at just the right time.
Wow.
At just the right time. Galatians 4:4 says, but when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his Son, born of a woman,
all right,
born under the law. We were talking about the law this morning in Power Hour and how the Bible tells us that the blood of bulls and goats was not going to take sin away. All it could do was cover sin up. But Jesus came, and the Bible tells us that he took the sin of the world and took it away as far away as possible from us. Look for a minute at Luke chapter 23. We're going to look at a few verses in Luke chapter 23. I'm going to give you another example. How this man in the middle hung on the cross. We know he hung on that cross. And this is what we're going to be looking at. We're going to be looking at the crucifixion. We're not going to go through the whole crucifixion. But when he hung on that cross, he hung between heaven and earth.
Yes.
He was suspended between heaven and earth. And that's on purpose. Because God wants us to see that he's the man in the middle between God and man.
Yes.
There's no other way we can get to God except the man in the middle. Verse 32 says, two others, both criminals, were led out to be executed with him. When they came to a place called the Skull, they nailed him to the cross, and the criminals were also crucified, one on his right and one on his left. And I gave these two guys names. The one on the left, guess what his name is?
Lefty.
The one on the right, you're not going to guess what his name is. Nope.
Oh, right. Wrong. Right, brother.
Wrong. Right, brother. I named him Sunshine.
Oh, okay. You got that one.
No, you ain't get that one.
It's the inside.
So when we read, okay, did I finish reading? No, I didn't finish reading. Okay. So verse 39, jumping down. So we read from 32 and 33. 39 says, one of the criminals hanging beside him scoffed. So you're the Messiah, are you? Prove it by saving yourself and us too while you're at it. But the other criminal protested, don't you fear God even when you have been sentenced to die? We deserve to die for our crimes, but this man has done nothing wrong. That was Lefty. Then he said, Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. And Jesus replied, I assure you today, you will be with me in paradise.
Yes.
This is a story here. These two guys on both sides. Jesus, the man in the middle between God and us. A man in the middle between a man on the left side, a man on the right. Lefty and Sunshine. Sunshine, he was different. Well, actually, it's not true, because you read in Matthew and Mark where even Sunshine scoffed at him at some point. But at some point, he changed.
Yes.
While he was in pain on that cross and in agony, he changed. But we see that what we read about the one on the left, it says he scoffed, and he attacked him. He's doing the same thing everybody else was doing, attacking Jesus. And you know, it's bad when you kick a man when he's already down.
Yeah.
That's just plain mean. So you see with this guy on the left, he was selfish. He was selfish. He scoffed at Jesus the way the world did. His focus was the same as most of the many Israelites at that time. They were looking for a king. They thought it might be Jesus. He did the miracles. He had the power. He had the authority. But he didn't come through. So he's thinking, you're supposed to have gotten us out of this mess. Why? His focus was on the kingdom of Rome being overthrown. He was interested in the worldly kingdom. But the one on the right, who changed at some point, it says, it doesn't say it, but he rebuked his buddy.
Mm-hmm. All right.
He told him. And he rebuked his arrogance. How can you be dying and being sentenced to death for you crimes you know you did, mm-hmm. and still have this attitude?
Right.
It seemed like you would be a little repentant, seeing as how you're about to die on this cross. He rebukes him for his arrogance. And then he confessed his own guilt. He says, what? We are guilty. We did what we're getting punished for something we didn't do. We deserve what? To die. And that's our position as humans. We all are in that position. We all deserve to die. He admits his own guilt, he acknowledges Jesus' innocence. Jesus went to five mock trials in the middle of the night. Every last one of them said, I find no fault in this man. All of them said he was innocent. There was a man below the cross that said, surely this must have been, this was a just man. Here the man on the side of the cross, he was innocent. He didn't do anything to deserve this. He calls him Jesus. He said Jesus. Why is that important? Because what does Jesus' name mean? God our Savior. He says, God our Savior, Jesus. And listen, this is phenomenal. He says, remember me. Wait a minute. Jesus is dying. He says, remember me. He's saying, I know where you're going when you die. When you die, it's not over. He knew that this was the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Yes. He knew he was getting up out of the grave. Mm. He says, remember me. Thank you. After you die, after you come out of that grave. Mm. And he requested Jesus' consideration. I know who you are. I know you're going to get out of that grave. Think about me when you get out. Consider me. I know what I've done wrong. But Lord, consider me. He was asking for forgiveness and consideration and pardon for his sins. He says, when you come into your kingdom. He first of all said, when you come. So he knew he was coming. He was going. And he says, he didn't say into your father's kingdom. He says, your kingdom.
Right.
He knew. I don't know how this man even got on the cross, to be honest with you. He had all this. I don't know how he got there, but whatever the case may be, it's probably for our benefit.
Yeah. Yeah.
So that we can understand that even in that position, even if you are convicted of something you didn't even do,
or did,
or things that you did do,
yeah,
there's still yet hope.
All right.
He acknowledged him as king. He knew it wasn't over yet.
Yeah.
So this man in the middle, he wants to be in everything that we go through. He wants to be in. John 14, 17 says, the spirit of truth whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him. Why? For he dwells with you and will be in you.
Yes.
He wants to be in. Matthew 18, 20 says, for where there are two or three gathered together in my name, what? I am there in the midst of them. He wants to be in the middle. He wants to be in there where you are. He wants to be in the middle of our situations, our circumstances. He wants to be in the middle of your hopes and dreams. He wants to be in the middle of your concerns and your worries. He says, don't worry about anything. What? Pray about everything. He wants to be in the middle of your family situation and your relationships. He wants to be in the middle of all the things that go on in your life. He wants to be a friend to the friendless. He wants to be a hope to the hopeless. Bring help to the helpless. He wants to be that doctor in the sick room. And he's not just there to heal physical bodies. He's there to heal broken hearts. Emotions, those things that happened to us in childhood that have caused us to be dysfunctional grown-ups. He wants to be in the middle of that. He wants to be that lawyer in that courtroom. And I'm not just talking about courtrooms, but there's a lot of times we are at, somebody's after you for something. Somebody's judged you for something, judged you wrongly. He wants to get into that. It's a good thing to have a good lawyer, isn't it? Amen. I can tell you this. What time is it? I got a minute to tell you this story. When I last went to jail, because I went to jail a few times, I went to jail and my mom got me a lawyer. She got me an attorney. I'm not going to tell you all the story and all that. I can tell you this. That attorney I got, his father was a judge. Which is why, probably why, I didn't get as much time as I got, as I could have got. Oh no, you have no idea. I can tell you, it's good to have a good lawyer, but it's also good to have a lawyer who has connections. Right. It's good to have a lawyer whose daddy is the big boss. Right. He's the boss of all the lawyers. Yes. He's the lawyer in that courtroom. And he's the one who can speak to storms. As we talked about, he spoke to the winds and the waves and said, "Peace, be still." And as he did it out in let's see, he can do it in our lives. And finally, Revelation 3:20 says, "I stand at the door and knock." And he says what? "If any man what? Hears my voice." Hears my voice and opens the door, I'll come in. One thing about it, he will not come in if you don't open the door. And some people hear his voice, and you know, you have certain these religious guys come to your door, you knock on, they knock on the door, you go to, who is it? And say, "We're here to share the, and then you just act, and then you just don't open the door. Or you open the door and you say, "Hello," and they say, "Yeah, we're here to share," and then you close it, boom. he says, if you open the door, I'll come in and I will sup with you. He wants to have fellowship with you. He wants to come in and be with you. Hallelujah. That man in the middle wants to be in the middle of all that we go through. Yes. That's the man in the middle. Amen. Stand with me and pray. Father, we thank you, Lord, that you want to be effective in our lives, in every aspect of our lives. You know what we're going through today. You know the hurts that we have been afflicted with. You know all about it. You know the nights that we've cried. You know about the brokennesses deep down inside of us. And we're thankful, Lord, that you love us and you just want to take us like a baby and rock us in your arms. Jesus. So, Lord, we thank you. We thank you for your loving kindness. Your loving kindness, your love for us beyond our understanding, also beyond our wildest expectations. We thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, Lord.
Bless your people everywhere. Lord, those that you know that are looking for healing, those that you know, Lord, that are looking for change, those that you know, Lord, that are looking for answers, thank you, Lord, for being all that we need in this afternoon. That man that wants to get in the middle of our situation, our lives, but especially, Lord, in the middle of our hearts, Lord, inject yourself today. Change that which needs to be changed. Fix that which needs to be fixed. Oh, God, patch those brokennesses inside of us as only you can. We thank you, Lord. We ask it in Jesus' name. Thank God. Amen. God bless you. Come on, Pastor. Okay.